Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today we're starting a new book called A Memory Called Empire. Dan. It threw me off because I had to say called twice there. But new book, get hyped. We're doing sci-fi. We're about a third of the way through. So we're up to chapter 7 is where we stopped for today's episode.
That's right. Before we get into it, Luke, I've got a hot take.
Okay.
My hot take is no one should live in New York City.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. Are you going to activate the Federal Guard because it's too dangerous?
No, I'm actually on the other side of this.
Okay.
Here's... I think they're... that's going to solve all the problems for sure.
To be clear, we're against death, folks. Okay, continue.
We are on a podcast, so we have to be very clear about that these days. All right, I don't think anyone should live in New York because I think when you live there, it becomes normal. And I don't think it's a city that should be normal to anybody.
Okay.
Here's what I mean.
Why? Yeah.
New York is in like a ton of movies and stuff, right? Like, I was in New York City this last weekend. And while I was there, we were like, hey, let's watch a movie. And we put a movie on. Where does it take place? New York City. And I'm like, whoa. And they're like referencing Brooklyn, which is where I was. And I was like, we're there right now. And they're like in Brooklyn doing stuff. And I'm just like, this is crazy. And I'm looking around at the people who just like live in Brooklyn. And they're like, I mean, yeah. No. This is insane.
I will say... The like, there's a huge East Coast like cultural awareness and like media bias, and it's centered in New York for sure.
Mm-hmm. And then like, okay, the other thing about it, Luke. All right, let me hit you with this. There's like so many amazing restaurants around. Now I will say a little bit pricey. However,
of course,
you can just like go to the restaurant on the corner. And it's amazing. It's like a taqueria. It's like amazing. It's like some of the best food you've ever had in your life. And people who live there become accustomed to it, and they don't appreciate it, Luke. They can't appreciate it because it's just how they live. Do you understand what I'm saying here? People who live there can't appreciate it. You get on the subway and you're like, shit, this will take me anywhere in the city. Yeah. Does it have air conditioning? Does it have air conditioning at the stop? No. However,
Okay. So you're actually coming at this saying that it's like too good.
I walked through Central Park. There's like a little carousel with a bunch of dancing animals around the Central Park Zoo that goes off when like a clock rings. And I'm like, this is incredible. And you just get to walk around and see this?
You had a blast in New York and you're upset about it.
I had a great time and I feel like people who live there don't appreciate it to the same degree. I feel like here's what I mean, Luke. People who visit have a way better time than people who live there. Because here's the thing. People who live there, they're paying like $3,000 a month for 500 square feet in Brooklyn. Yeah. On like a six-story walk-up.
Right.
Okay? Like, meanwhile, I don't care. I'm in a hotel room that literally has the space for like a bed. And that's all. And I'm like, this is incredible. I'm going to get a bagel. I'm going to get everything bagel with some schmear for breakfast. Uh-huh. It's incredible. It's the best bagel I've ever had.
A lot of schmear too.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I'm eating pizza 5 meals a day. Mm-hmm.
Mm. I love this. Actually, here's the thing, because you've recently also been to a big city that you also raved about, which was Singapore.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on between the two?
So Singapore, New York needs to get to Singapore's level. I'll say that.
Okay.
Singapore, though, felt like a city you could live in and appreciate. Whereas New York, I feel like because of the mythologizing of New York, it was cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes, 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 for sure. I mean, the kind of just like general vibes, I feel like, especially as an American,
yeah,
you're like absorbing as you're in walking around New York, probably.
Right, right. It's like every corner, you're like, whoa, there's a thing I've heard about. Whereas Singapore wasn't right, that way, right. But Singapore felt like it would be way nicer to like to live in. Like, here's where I'm coming down. Nobody should live in New York. Everyone should live in Singapore. That's what I'm saying.
But again, to clarify, no one should live in New York because it's not because it's bad.
No, no, because it's like the people who live there don't appreciate it in the way the people who visit do.
Okay. Okay. I love it. Did you see some rats?
Actually, no, which I was surprised about.
For Dan. Okay.
The mayor turns out taking a bunch of bribes from the Turkish government does a lot for your rat problem. He was looking for a different kind of rat. Unfortunately, Mayor Adams was.
That's right. Oh man. But yeah, to my point, like everyone is so aware of whatever's happening in New York, even if like I know a lot about the mayor's race in New York, even though it affects me in no significant way.
Completely. And the rat problem. And like I was like walking around looking at fire escapes being like, oh shit. Yeah. I've seen a lot of those, but only here.
Right. Like, I feel like I've seen movies based in New York like an order of magnitude more than LA, despite LA being the like home
being
of
where
movies.
They make the movies. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, New York City, great place to visit.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time. Best meal that you had there.
I'm actually okay. I had a lot of pizza while I was there. Not the best meal. Best meal I had was a burrito.
Oh,
that was like
interesting.
It was like a mushroom instead of like pulled pork. It was like mushrooms that had been seasoned the same way.
Okay.
Incredible. Changed my life. That's I could have eaten.
Right,
I could have
eat.
Eaten four.
Very good. You don't normally think of burritos, but I guess every restaurant has to be good there because of the competition. So
I agree.
Yeah. Okay. I got to get up there sometime soon.
It's a fun spot. It's a fun spot for sure. Take the subway.
Love a
go
subway.
To the Frick. Just opened up. See some art.
Sounds great.
You know they had a Monet. You know they had a Degas. Okay. Luke knows. Luke gets it.
That's right. Of course. Let's talk book.
Mm-hmm.
A Memory Called Empire, up to chapter 7.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, what do we have first? I'm gonna actually do big first.
Okay, let's go big, and then I'm gonna take us really small.
Okay, I'm just really into the memory device things.
The imagos or the imagos.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like them a lot too.
I think the concept is really cool. I think it's really interesting to think about what it means for
mm-hmm.
the person that has one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Just to give a quick summation mm-hmm. of it, right? This kind of like space frontier, I don't know, station, I guess, is what it is, has developed a technology that allows someone to like imprint their like memory into a device that is then placed like into the brainstem of the next generation person.
Yeah.
And because they say memory has also like a little naturally has a little bit of personality to it, it's almost like you're getting like another person.
Mm-hmm.
And they pass these on down, so you have basically the memories of like multiple generations.
Right. Right. Well, and those people, like those personalities are more than just like the one person too, because those personalities have been influenced by all the people in the past. I mean, I also love this concept. I think it is, it's working really well for me right now. And
mm-hmm.
it's like, it's making explicit something that just like happens, right? Like everybody is influenced by their culture, the like people that came before them, like when you read a book or like listen to music or like we have these people that are influencing who we are already. but to make it like super explicit in this way is, I think, great. I love it. I also love that it's like very benevolent too. Like it's not like one of them is trying to take over the other one.
Right.
Which would be the like sort of classic style of this kind of thing.
That's kind of what if you had told me that there was a book about this concept, I would have been like, oh, it's like a kind of scary technology, bad kind of thing.
Yeah.
But this seems to be going the other direction. I am curious, like, obviously we haven't really seen this because our main character is malfunctioning. But I am curious, like, how much they become a different person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Versus how much they just, like, kind of consume those memories.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It'd be tough. It'd be interesting.
Yeah.
Someone comes down and offers you an imago of a person.
Who's on it? I need to know who's on it, Luke. Come on, Luke. You cannot leave the door open for this to be just an abysmal situation.
I know. I don't have a specific person, but like if it's like someone who you respect, right?
Okay. Who would it be on there? I don't know though, because this also opens the door for you finding out all the horrible things that somebody who you respect did and being like, ah, shit. This is a Never Meet Your Heroes situation, right?
I am not sure how much control does that person have over like what they're putting into their image?
I think it all goes in. Especially considering we learn that the dead one, for the one that's on the current guy, it's just been recording like 3 weeks of dead brain activity.
Right.
So I don't think that they can like, it's not a, Luke, listen, it's not a police body cam where they can turn it off and on when they want.
True. Oh man, that's tough then. There's got to be kind of like an unwritten rule where it's like, all right, don't look at the embarrassing stuff.
That time when I slipped and dropped that big plate of spaghetti all over myself, please don't dwell on that memory. Like, I dwell on it a lot because it was really embarrassing, but I don't want you to dwell on it because that is embarrassing to me.
That's part of the training. Like, we've heard over and over that they have, like, 1 year of acclimating. And most of that year has been, hey, this is the embarrassing memories. We staying away from those.
That's why our current imago is gone dark, because he was brought back to a memory where he was like caught picking his nose one time, and he was like, how do I hide these things? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Gotta have a pause button. I feel like this technology has been around for 13 generations. There's gotta be a switch that turns off when the buddy dies, because otherwise, if it's not really like useful anymore,
yeah.
Like if the buddy's dead and they've been dead a while, I feel like maybe you get a pilot that suffocates out in deep space and you go retrieve them after like a month. You want their imago to still be valuable.
Right. Yeah. I would agree. I mean, I wonder if you could just go in and like, once you pull it out, can you be like, all right, let's change. Like we're only keeping the data from these dates or something.
Maybe. But that also feels sort of culturally against their vibe. Because it feels like sort of like censorship in a way, where they're like trying to control the narrative. Because then you could say, all right, you could say, well, I don't want them to see this secret mission that we put the person on. Or I don't want them to see how the council was actually really evil in this action a while ago. So I'm going to snip that bit out too.
Right.
And I feel like it might be too complicated to do that. You know, like it might be, because otherwise... Otherwise, Luke, it feels like you'd want to cut out a lot of stuff. Like,
yeah. Like, I mean, this is our like after the fact pause button.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know if they can do, I feel like they couldn't do that, but you got to have like a kill switch. Like when they die, it puts it on stasis.
Right. When the device detects that the soul has left, as I'm sure it's capable of doing, then boom. Probably easier to just do when it detects that the heart is not beating anymore, but who's to say?
Who's to say? Not me.
Yeah.
I want to go to a really small thing, Luke.
Yeah.
36. All terrain. Tundra Vehicle. Fucking rules as a name. It's fun to say. It gives you a feeling when you say it. 36. Mm-hmm. All terrain. Tundra Vehicle. Oh.
It does.
I want to meet this person. 36 All Terrain Tundra Vehicle. And you can say it so many different ways, too. 36 All Terrain Tundra Vehicle. Like, there's. I get that it's a lot of syllables. That gives you a lot of opportunity. Every syllable is an opportunity for how you want to say this name. It rips. That name rips.
I mean, the naming convention that they have really opens itself up to a lot of fun things. Mm-hmm. And this is like a kind of home run hit.
It's so good. So good. I love it. I just love it so much, and it was so angry. It made me hate the Empire even more that they don't like this name.
That's low class, Dan.
Well, I'm about it.
We're all about it. Opens yourself up. Like, you can kind of... A lot of nickname options,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Mm-hmm. You got ATV. You got ATTV. ATTV is so good on so many levels.
It is. It is. I even think the number... Choosing 36 as the number also. Spot on.
Mm. It's... It just was so good for me. And it led me to a question, Luke.
Okay.
You got to come up with a name. You're getting assimilated into the Empire. You're becoming a citizen. You're getting one of these bronze hook, whatever they're called.
Mm-hmm.
What's your new name? We start with a number, and then we get a word. Number. We get a phrase or a word.
I'm a big number 15 guy.
Okay. Okay.
Let's see. I haven't thought of a noun yet, or it's basically just a noun, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it can be a few things. I think I'm going 13, Mr. Clean.
Ooh, little rhyme.
Mm-hmm. Little rhyme. 13 is a cheeky little number, you know. It's unlucky, yeah. But I make my own luck. And Mr. Clean, just because I'm hoping for a brand deal.
I like.
And
it.
I want people to call me. Oh, actually. It's got to be Dr. Clean. I always forget that. I always forget that I got the doctor now. 13 Dr. Clean.
Well, you started out, your name was initially Mr. Mm-hmm. Clean.
And then it's upgraded.
And then it's upgraded. Yeah. I feel like you had this ready to go. I feel like the problem with asking me now is that I'm just going to find an object in the room that I'm looking at and choose that, and my brain cannot work outside of those bounds currently.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what? I think sometimes that's a winner, because 36 All Terrain Tundra Vehicle may have done that.
That's right. Ooh, man, what am I looking at? What do I got in this room?
15.
Actually, you know what I like?
Mm.
Because it seems like they've always gone for a single item, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But like, what if you put the S at the end?
Okay.
And then my name becomes 15 Windshield Wipers.
Okay. I like it. I like it. Because here's the thing. I like it for a few reasons. First, I like it because it's clear you're not literally referring to 15 windshield wipers, because why would you ever be referring to that many windshield wipers?
Right, right.
The other reason I like it, Luke, is you don't talk about windshield wipers that often, right? You don't often get the opportunity to say windshield wipers. I like the W alliteration. And I love
W alliteration. And it's the one that, like, you always do say it as a plural, right?
Right, right. Because you wouldn't say 15 windshield wiper.
Well, but you would also never really, you wouldn't really refer to one windshield wiper generally, because there's always two.
Right. Well, and because when you refer to one, you're kind of talking about a person at that point.
Right, yeah.
Like, it becomes a job. It's not an object anymore.
This is true. This is true. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So that's me. That's okay.
I love it.
So, yours is 13 Dr. Clean, and I'm 15 windshield wipers. Yeah. There you have it.
So we'll keep that up while we're reading the book, but probably not. It took me a little bit to like figure out the naming stuff because it was confusing at first.
I will say I have had a little bit of a hard time reading this book so far. Mm-hmm. I think it's a mix of, and to be clear, like I'm enjoying the book, but like in terms of just like logistically mm-hmm. keeping my understanding of a sentence going, it's because like, yeah, the naming convention is very strange. There's a lot of like odd words that have like a lot of ZUAs in them, yeah. like repeating, mm-hmm. That I don't understand what they are. And I know that they were defined for me at one point,
yes.
but anyway, and also maybe this is a little bit of a critique. You're ready for another prose discussion?
Oh, let's do it.
Dan?
Yeah.
I'm struggling a little bit with the prose.
Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
I feel like it's one of those where we get like an interruption in the middle of a sentence to describe someone.
Yes.
And then it goes back to what that person was doing.
Yes.
And it's been,
can I tell you what? Can I tell you what? Because
it's
one person.
It's objectively bad.
It's one person.
But it's,
right?
Oh, it's one character that's doing it?
One character. The author wants us to feel a certain way about the like head, the like most important character we've met so far. This like lady who yeah. like
the one that like he's being described as like having a blade.
Yes.
Or something.
And here's the thing about it, which is really throwing me for a loop. This is a critique which is similar to yours. I feel like the author is telling us how cool this person is without showing us how cool this person is. The author is trying to convince me that this character is really cool and has not succeeded.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I get it that this character keeps wanting to describe this person as really cool. But like, what about them is cool? I don't understand. Give me more information about why they're so cool. Because so far they're just like
this is so true.
A person who you're describing as really cool. But I don't know why they're really cool.
Yeah, yeah. They keep talking about their conversations, and they seem really normal to me.
Yes.
But they are described as like a really perilous conversation.
Yeah.
Laden with like hidden meaning, and I, yeah.
Luke,
I agree.
I read some of these like 3 or 4 times, trying to be like, "What am I missing here? What am I missing here?"
Yeah.
And I couldn't find anything. I was like, I feel like this is just as perilous as the rest of it has been. I don't know why you're telling this person all this information that seems really proprietary.
It does. Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad we had the same, like we had like very similar thoughts on this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I, well, okay. In my mind, this is similar, but I don't know if it actually is. So what's the scale of this empire?
Massive. Really big, I think.
So I think so too, but like it doesn't feel that way. Like I feel like I'm intellectually aware that it's like a massive empire because it's a sci-fi book and they have like an empire and spaceships mm-hmm. and such.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we came into the center of it a little bit too quickly. Mm. Before I could like appreciate that we were like being thrown into the deep end. Does this make sense?
Okay, here's what I think, because I have had this sense as well. And until you mentioned it, I hadn't been able to figure out what the feeling was. It feels crazy that this ambassador is able to get so close to the middle so quickly. Like it feels like this ambassador is from a fairly small station in the grand scheme of things, and the fact that she is like mm-hmm. meeting with super important people within like a month of being there, it feels like these should be like a dime a dozen. It feels like there should be so many of these ambassadors based on how big the empire is. I think my explanation for why it isn't that way is because the empire has assimilated so much. There are very few like independent entities outside of the empire.
Right.
So there are very few ambassadors at all. Most of them are just part of the empire as it stands. That's sort of my headcanon for
yeah.
it. Because you're right. In the introduction, the like description of how big this empire is like the number of stars it has expanded to is like almost beyond counting. It's just like so vast, and it's like a machine that's just like,
yeah,
constantly expanding. So yeah, because I agree. I think she gets so close to the middle so quickly. It feels like it should be bigger.
Well, especially because like I recognize your point about like there might not actually be that many ambassadors, but still like this still seems like a relatively small and insignificant station that she represents.
Correct. I agree.
So I don't know. Maybe I think what I'm assuming is that the previous ambassador was just like so charismatic. Everybody loved him.
He was legendary, Luke.
Yeah. Truly legendary.
Well, not everybody loved him because he was assassinated.
He was. Well, alleged.
Okay, come on. Speaking of which, Luke, one thing I'm trying to figure out is the dynamics between our main character and like the like bureaucrats she's interacting with. Specifically three Seagrass. So yeah, it feels like she reveals the Imago thing so quickly.
Yeah.
When this is like your thing, like this is your ace in the hole that like your people sort of have concealed this from the Empire for this long. And it's like so valuable to have it secret.
I agree. Yeah, for sure.
I've been trying to figure out like why does she give this up so quickly? Like why is she, what's the,
it almost, yeah, like,
I don't know.
It almost felt like she thought that they basically already knew. And don't consider it that big of a deal, maybe.
I see. What I landed on was that this is sort of like mutual exchange almost, like she's giving up something valuable with the expectation, yeah, that she's gonna get something valuable for it. So like,
well, they do play this little game.
Yeah, but like why is anyone telling the truth in any of this? Like,
yeah,
what?
I don't know.
why would you do that? Also in the game, I think the game was super unfair because three Seagrass didn't even get to ask a question. Like the dude 12, yeah, whatever, asked two questions. That's not fair. Everybody gets to ask a question.
For sure.
And like the other thing about this exchange is I feel like our ambassador is relying on the fact that Three Seagrass is ambitious, and so Three Seagrass wants the ambassador to rise, and so her giving Three Seagrass the information about the Imago device doesn't actually hurt her that much because Three Seagrass is going to like be like helping her rise to further her own career, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that could be part of it. I also think there's something to be said about her just being a really young, inexperienced person without access to her Imago. Because I did have a note here where like her being put into this job would be so overwhelming.
Oh yeah, 100%.
As a like, she's like what, 22 or something like that?
Very young. Yeah.
And gone from like basically a rural village, right, to a massive empire, and you're placed into a senior role immediately without any connections, basically.
And the role that she's been put in is to do something that she has like no practice doing. Like
yeah,
this job is not like anything she would have been able to do or even like practice doing on the station.
Yeah,
crazy.
Like she talks about, like there's some hints about what she does with a lot of these, I don't know, they're scrolls or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there are requests for approval for different things. And this is like her first day there.
Yeah.
Right? She hasn't even like packed, she hasn't even put her clothes into her drawers
mm-hmm.
yet.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like approving requests. On what basis? Are you just, is it just like you're approving them?
Yeah. Request comes in. I say, yep, go ahead.
I guess that's what that, and honestly, that's what it seems like to me.
Except she didn't approve the like military moves through their space.
Yeah.
Because the previous guy didn't either.
Okay. Sure. Sure.
But most everything else. Yeah. I mean, yeah, if I'm in her position, the today it all goes through. Tomorrow I'll read it. Today? Sure.
I'd be so terrified. I mean, considering myself, like I going into a job where I don't feel fully qualified without anyone to lean on and with full awareness that there are people trying to take advantage of me, I would
die. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Luke, I have a question for you.
Okay.
We're both chemists, right?
Sure. Yeah.
How hard is it to extract cyanide from a potato? Like, do you think if you had the technology that would allow you to, I don't know, travel thousands of light years in a second, the process of extracting cyanide from a potato would be challenging?
I think they can probably do it.
Luke, do you think it would take 16 hours to do it? Because no. They eat this mush, and Three Seagrass explains that it's been processed for 16 hours because they have to remove the cyanide from this vegetable. Right. What?
I don't think, it doesn't seem like it would really take that much time. You'd basically just be smushing it and then putting whatever thingy is in there to react with the cyanide. I assume
they probably have like nanobots or something.
Yeah.
And they're spending 16 hours on mush.
Maybe it's to keep it artisanal.
I think it probably is. You're right. Yeah.
Like they have industrial processes that can do this in 30 minutes, but that's the cheap stuff. That's not cool.
You can go in the freezer aisle of any like supermarket there and pick up like a version you can do in your microwave.
Yeah.
And it tastes exactly the same, but they're like, yeah, but I like that a human had to work on this for 16 hours. It really makes it taste better.
A human had to look through the microscope to count. They have really high powered microscopes. They're like SEM level.
There you go.
Even more.
There you go. Thank you, Luke.
And so one worker just picked through this with the electron microscope. Yeah.
The alternative.
It's better that way.
The alternative, Luke, is that the Empire just gave up on new technology. Right? The Empire is too busy, like, composing couplets and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why the, like, Liel station has cool brain implants and the Empire is, like, throwing scrolls around to pass important messages.
It is kind of interesting what, like, there's a little bit of Red Rising that this reminds me of.
Yeah, totally.
Where there's kind of a lot of interest in classical seeming things. I could kind of see it, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They do have some good TV, I think.
I don't remember.
Heard a little bit about some broadcasts. Actually, this is what I'm thinking of. Is a little bit of a change of subject.
Yeah.
But there's an interaction between our main character and I think it was like one of the assistants of the really cool lady.
Like Five Agate, I think is her name, or somebody like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Where she apparently makes a social mistake of thinking that this other station will have like received and like paid a lot of attention to certain news broadcasts because this empire, because it's important to this empire. Mm-hmm. And our main character like kind of rebukes her a little bit. But I kind of want to call some BS on this.
Yeah, the specific program was the coronation of one of these co-emperors.
It's a huge deal. Yeah. Also, there's a few times where they talk about how, like, their station is so small and so precisely run that everyone has to be, like, able-bodied and working and stuff like that. So it's like, okay, so you don't have any of your own broadcasts.
Right, then. You don't have TV. Nobody's making TV out there.
Why would... Yeah, you're consuming other people's TV, for sure. Don't try to act like you guys have a lot of cool culture to be throw around. You don't have time for that. You're mining.
You're watching Great British Bake Off as you're getting ready to fall asleep. Okay?
You're watching movies about New York City, for sure.
100%. 100%. It does make her sound cool, though, that she got to rebuke this lady. Like, we got our own shit. We got going on. And secretly, she's like, I did see that, and it was pretty incredible.
That crown was sweet. I loved it.
When the disco ball popped out of it. What? Crazy.
I don't know. I have a hard time figuring out their station and how much is her exaggerating as a like sense of pride in like we're on the frontier kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I kind of feel like a little bit because...
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like, that sounds terrible.
I think...
If you're so strict that like no... There can be no one... And like, there's even a little eugenics thing that made me a little bit uncomfortable as one of the intros where they're like, because we had some advancement in cooking and in growing food, we can now allow the cool people to have one more baby each or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Yeah. Well, I think she needs to present her station as like, valuable as an independent entity, not like just a backwater where people are struggling to survive, which is kind of like what it is,
right?
Except for these cool Imago devices. Big flaw about the Empire, though, Luke. Mm-hmm. Tourism in the city must be like zero, right?
Because of the unrest going on.
No, Luke, because can I tell you how many doors I had to walk through in New York City when I was there?
I see.
Literally can't open a door if you're not a citizen.
Yeah, that's tough.
So, like, nobody's visiting then.
It's only internal, like, domestic tourism.
Right. So, seems like a bit of an oversight here. Get him a pass. Get him a little pass. That they can use to open doors because that's kind of necessary. I get that it's like representing this place is very easy to imprison her in.
Right.
But it also seems extremely inconvenient. Well, here's an idea.
Different levels of security on these doors.
No, come on, Luke.
Some doors easy to open.
How are they even going to do that? You can't. I can't even think of a single way that they could do that.
It does sound impossible.
Yeah.
Especially because they've only just now hacked how to run a perfect train station. Mm-hmm.
Literally perfect. Yep. Interconnected over the entire planet.
Is this hard? Like, because okay, here's the thing. The difficulty with this is not the programming, right? The difficulty is like the infrastructure, the physical infrastructure and keeping things running, right?
What? No, Luke. I think it is the programming because you have to think about how many trains there are and where they could all go. The number explodes.
Okay.
It's like a traveling salesman problem. Notoriously hard.
All right. Fine. It still seems doable at this level.
It does. It does seem doable though, Luke. I agree with you. Anyway, it was hard apparently. And 10 whatever his name did it.
10 Pearls.
10 Science Guy. Oh, yeah, 10 Pearls.
I hope that the subway actually works as well.
Do you think travelers who aren't from there can actually enter the subway, or do you think they need a buddy to like hold the door for them?
I think they need a buddy.
Yeah, I think they do too.
Well, you can't hold the door, first of all. There's no door holding. Everything leaves precisely on time.
If you hold the door, it's all chaos. The AI that runs the trains melts down. The doors will chop your arm off. They actually have blades, very sharp blades on all the doors.
This is the thing, though, right? Because like, if you're going to be interconnected to this degree, there can be no changes. So that's what I mean by like the physical infrastructure. Like, if someone's in the door, it closes, and the train leaves.
Yeah, that's how you ended up with No Leg Larry. He only got his front half in the train.
One Leg is his name, actually.
Well, that's One Leg Pete. I was talking about No Leg Larry.
Okay. It's got to be a number, though, Dan.
Oh.
So that's Zero Leg.
Zero Leg Larry. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about the numbers thing. Thank you, Luke.
That was my whole thing. That was my... never mind. Let's see. What else do we have to talk about?
Hey, what else is going on around here?
I did have a little bit of a note here on 19 Adze, I think is the name
That's
of the
right.
person who's really cool and dangerous, I guess. Mm-hmm. Where they talk a good amount about the unrest in the empire or the city that is like empire and city seems to be like the same word or something.
Yeah.
Anyway. Her suggestion as to what the cause is that the empire has basically been so like steady and successful for like a pretty good stretch of time that has given people time to like come up with things to complain about.
Yeah, like people are bored. Essentially, people are bored and they're complaining because they're bored.
And like I I kind of think that that's what happened to us.
Whoa!
But I mean, for the, like, you know, rich people in the U.S. Uh-huh. were like, things forgot that things have been bad in the past. And so they were like, I don't know. I should have written down what I meant by this because now I'm struggling. But people invent problems.
People invent basically. Problems. I see what you're saying. You're saying people should just shut up and appreciate the good things the government does for you.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes. Correct.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it's like things are, we as a society have solved certain problems.
Yeah.
And so people forget why we have instituted solutions to things. And so they take away those solutions to things.
Right, but maybe those solutions...
And then they're hit by the problems.
Maybe those solutions are like causing a really nebulous and undefined problem. And maybe measles is actually good. Did you ever think about that?
That's a good point.
Did you ever think about maybe we went too far?
You know, now I'm starting to rethink things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ah, okay, Dan's going to go off on a very, very short rant here. I was literally thinking about this because the same people, it's weird. The same people today who are against vaccines are also the ones who don't really care about climate change. And it feels like they come from opposite angles. Do you know what I mean? We're like the people that,
well, they're also the same people that want to get like food dye out of food or something.
Correct. And it's like climate change is like literally a man-made change to our environment. It's causing a lot of problems. We'd love for it to revert back to more of a natural state, and you don't care about that one, but you do care that we have like red 40 going in your fruit snacks or whatever. Like, and to be fair, that's a recent development that these two sides are working together.
Yeah.
Which is insane. Anyway, back to this empire that seems to be having a rough time because people are complaining too much about shit that isn't real.
Right. I don't know if there's a decent chance that the valence of these two sides in our society and in theirs are not the same. Mm-hmm. But that's just what it reminded me of.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's fair. I think that's fair, Luke. What do we think about this new menacing threat that's appeared? Are we thinking aliens?
The wheels. Yeah. I mean, definitely aliens. Well, we're having a hard time defining aliens in this book.
I'm going to say creature that is not of the like human genetic line. Cause it seems like a lot of these human, it feels like a lot of these are really humans that
they've evolved. Yeah.
They've like been apart for so long that they've sort of evolved into new stuff. And I'm saying that these are aliens from another genetic line. I'm saying iguanas had a little bit more time to evolve.
Okay. I hope so. I hope that's the case. I want to get some real aliens in here.
Maybe they're doing things better. Maybe they're doing things a little different and it's going great for them.
Well, I mean, they've got wheels and wheels and wheels shaped spaceships. Mm-hmm. So
also that sound terrifying based on all the descriptions we've heard of them. Of these pilots?
You mean the pilots are terrified of them?
Yeah, correct.
This is another time where, well, we haven't actually seen them yet.
Yeah.
But we've heard the author has told us that they are terrified.
Correct. But I also don't quite understand why they're so terrifying yet.
Yeah.
But maybe they are.
Because there's like different sources of terror, right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, are they terrifying in a way similar to like a horror movie?
Mm-hmm.
Or are they terrifying in a way where it's like they are so much more powerful than us that they could like wipe out civilization?
Yes.
Because those are different things.
Is it existential dread or is it like momentary terror? Those are different.
Yeah.
Which is it?
I don't know. I hope they're just like our traditional little green guys.
Big heads, big eyes.
Yeah.
And they're goofy. That'd be great.
Yeah. Goofy, but with firepower.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The perfect combo.
Exactly. Well, Luke, I'm excited to finally meet these aliens, to take them to their leader, this 84-year-old weirdo, I guess. I hope they fix all our problems. Chiefly, I hope they spread the gospel of frequent backups. You gotta do frequent backups, people. We can't have 15 years of missed data, especially with something this important.
Yeah. I know. It's like a 1 month ride. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. At least upload it to the cloud or something. Figure it out.
Give me the cloud. Yeah.
But you know, this podcast is getting backed up. Before we go, we're gonna be out for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. We'll be here next week.
That's right.
But then we're taking a couple weeks off for moving related stuff.
Yeah.
So there'll be a little bit of a cliffhanger.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We'll come up with a
before we get to the
we'll come topic. Up with just a juicy theory in the intervening time. This is a Dan guarantee. This is a 13 Dr. Clean guarantee. We're gonna have a juicy theory when we come back.
Good. Good. I feel like we haven't had one in a while.
Oh, I know. I'm cooking one up.
Love that.
So we'll be back next week.
Mm-hmm.
Next third, we'll bring the hot takes.
And be the dumb nerds.